Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He was going to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The Gospel of the Lord. Started praying a prayer that says, "Grant that we may run without stumbling." Isn't it a worry for many of us, not only to run without stumbling, but to merely walk without stumbling, especially as we grow older? Hugh and I were going last night on the ferry, and he wanted to take Ava down, and we took a little detour, and Hugh almost fell, and I was going down. Says, "I'm getting to that age that I have to be worried about stumbling and falling in balance, right?" The spiritual life is many times compared to a race, to a run, to a journey, to a quest. And always the concern is, if we stumble in this journey. Luke, who wrote also the Acts of the Apostles, wrote, "But I do not count my soul precious to me, so long as I may finish the race and the ministry to bear witness to the good tidings of God's grace. I do not count my soul precious to me." And I was wondering, in each of our journeys of spiritual quest, what are we willing to do to further this journey, this race, and not to stumble in it? We wonder, what are the things that make me stumble in my own journey? And what I'm willing to let go? What things I consider valuable or important that I still hold on to that make me stumble, but that I'm unwilling to let go, to put aside. As I was reading the gospel of today, I confess that we move All Saints to today, and I choose not to do it this year simply because of the gospel. Because I love this story of Zacchaeus. I love the story of this short man who climbed up the sycamore tree, and I said, let's jump All Saints for this Sunday, and this year I mean, and just delve into this story, which I find so beautiful. So we hear about this man who is in his journey, a man that is in this spiritual quest. Who would you know about him? Who is he? This young man, or old man, I don't know. Huh? He's not only a tax collector, he's the chief tax collector, which is little detail, but it's important. Many people think tax collector, they think kind of an IRS agent, and it's not exactly that. I was reading, and probably in that time, they were government bidders. They bid the government for contracts, as you can imagine how that can go. So they're bidding contracts to the Roman Empire, to the government, and they negotiated deals, sourcing the military with whatever they needed. Tax collecting was part of it, but it's not only tax collecting. So they had a big enterprise, these tax collectors. They negotiated with Rome, I'll give you this, and you give me to provide food for the military, or collect the taxes for this, or collect the taxes for that, or provide for this construction, that type of thing. As you can imagine, that was filled with a lot of, can you imagine? A lot of opportunities for a lot of things that were not too okay. People despise them. I have a commentator who wrote this, and I just wrote it because I found it very poignant. He wrote, Zacchaeus is not misunderstood. He is not the victim of circumstances. He has chosen to work for the Romans, to bilk his own people. So successful is he at his job that he has risen in the ranks to become a chief tax collector. The people don't despise him because they're close-minded or judgmental. They despise him because he's a slimy, good-for-nothing thief. And he knows it. So these tax collectors had like associations of other tax collectors, and they banded together to bid for contracts to the government. And they chose among themselves the one who was more savvy and get things done as their chief. So this is the man we are encountering today, Zacchaeus. To make things more complicated, poor Zacchaeus, his name in Hebrew meant the innocent or the pure. So the irony is not lost on the people. So you can imagine the people in the town in Jericho, how they received this man, how they looked upon him. It was one of his own who was a betrayer, a traitor, an oppressor. So this powerful businessman wants to see Jesus, and we don't know why. Was it simply curiosity? We don't know. The thing is, he cannot achieve his goal because he is short of stature. He has something that impedes him access to Jesus. The crowd does not allow him to encounter him. And this was a theme in Jericho. Just before this gospel, we have the gospel of the blind beggar. And they're the two opposite ends of society in Jericho. There was a poor man begging in the streets, in the floor, and the crowd is impeding him. When he starts begging to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, the people were shushing him. Shut up, don't bother the master. And the poor man is impeded to access Jesus. The crowd does not want him to encounter Jesus. We have the opposite side. This very rich, powerful man, and he is also impeded by the crowd. He is little. And imagine the only thing he sees the backsides of everybody. But notice that this, which was his hindrance, something that impeded, a deficit he has, something that was in his way, proved to be his saving grace. So what does he do? He climbs a tree. He climbs a sycamore tree. Can you imagine? This very rich, wealthy, powerful man climbing up a tree. Can you see just the spectacle that would be? They're like, what is he doing? This man, up a tree. Augustine, St. Augustine, who preached about this, he noticed a metaphor he saw in the word sycamore. And in Greek, there are two words that are similar. Moria, which means foolishness or silliness. And in Greek, the word sycamoria, sycamore, and he saw there was a similar. And he wrote, he preached once, he said, Zacchaeus ignored the crowd that was getting in his way. He instead climbed a sycamore tree, a tree of silly fruit. As the apostle says, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block indeed to the Jews, now notice the sycamore, but folly, Moria, to the Gentiles. Say what you like, but for your part, let us climb the sycamore tree and see Jesus. The reason you cannot see Jesus is that you are ashamed to climb the sycamore tree. Cyril of Alexandria, another of the fathers of the church, also picked up on this theme. He wrote, in no other way can a person see Christ and believe in him except by climbing up into the sycamore, by being foolish. And as I was meditating on this, I was just wondering, what is my sycamore tree? What is your sycamore tree? What is the fooliness, silliness that you're called upon in order to be able to encounter the Christ? Each one of us has different ones. I invite you today, this week, your life. What are the sycamore tree in your life? Things that you think, this is silly, this is foolish, this is dumb. But deep down inside, you know, I need to do this in order to be faithful to my mission in life, as Luke said. To be, what did he say? Foolishness to the Jews. That is what we are invited to be. As I was wondering, you know, my own life, I can notice various moments in my life, and you can ask you for more information. I still struggle with many of them, right, you? Things that I need to let go, and I still hold on to. Old ideas, old patterns of thinking, and simply my pride gets in the way in order to let it go. I still try to hold on to things that I think are important, that make me feel relevant or important, and I still hold on to them, knowing that they get in the way. And for me, those are my sycamore trees, and I resist climbing the tree. I don't want to appear foolish or silly. I don't want to upset. I don't want to risk. And nevertheless, I know that unless I climb that sycamore tree, I will not continue advancing in my own spiritual journey. Climbing this silly tree, Zacchaeus is seen by Jesus, who calls him and invites himself to his house. It's not that Jesus invites him over. Jesus tells him, I'm coming to your house. Can you imagine the reaction of the crowd? We hear it in the gospel. They started grumbling. Probably Jesus noticed the same grumbling. And the people were upset. How can Jesus sit down with an oppressor? How can Jesus sit down with this unjust, thieving man? A man who is a traitor to our people. How can he go and invite himself to his house? He's a sinner. He shouldn't go there. We don't know what Jesus saw. Maybe he noticed precisely that. This powerful rich man has climbed up a tree, has let go of his pride and his self-importance. I imagine he felt very important, being the chief tax collector. Lets that go and climbs up a tree simply to see him. Maybe that was it. But he noticed there was an opening there. There was an opening, a door to his heart. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. Staying at your house. And Luke says, he runs down, not exactly runs, but quickly comes down the tree, and very happy says, welcomes him into his home. That was the beginning of an opening of his heart. And what a change. This wealthy businessman is transformed. He tells Jesus, look, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Practically, he's broke. And it's not only money that was involved here, it's a whole change of life. The crowd that was impeding this man to see Jesus, probably the people who had been cheated and oppressed by this man, received reparations for all his injustices. Just like I needed Hugh's hand yesterday to go down the beach in Anacortes Ferry Landing, we can't run our spiritual race alone. We need a hand. We need a community, friends, spouses that don't get in the way and impede our growth. But ultimately, what we need truly is God's grace. To be seen in our effort to climb the silly tree. As we prayed in the opening prayer, it is only by your gift. Today I invite you to continue meditating. What is this sycamore tree? The foolishness, risky business call God is calling you, and you know what it is, to let go. And as you come forward today in communion to receive the body and blood of Christ, the bread and wine that we will share, maybe consider that as one sycamore tree. Come, kneel, stand, open your hands and gesture to receive this bread, this cup, as it is placed in your hands. And it's interesting to notice that you are not receiving. Note in the Episcopal tradition, we don't grab the bread. It is received because it's not me that's telling Jesus, I want you. It's Jesus saying, I'm coming to you. I'm staying at your house. It is a very passive thing. It is just like Zacchaeus telling you, hey, I'm coming to your house. Get ready. So today, as you come toward communion, allow yourself that experience. Allow Jesus to say, I want to come to your house. And what would happen if that were true? What change would happen in your life? And in our world and in our nation that is, I'm not going to go there, but you all know what's all, how much we need for those who are in power to change, to transform, to let go of ways of being that are killing and destroying our world, our people, especially the poor and the needy. As we sang in the sequence hymn, which is one of my favorite hymns, thank you, Marianne, we said, the cream of all my heart I will bring thee. Let Jesus see you. Let him invite himself to your home and offer him your heart. Amen.
Please stand with me as you're able and let us say together the Nicene Creed.